Henry Nicholas is the billionaire co-founder of the tech company Broadcom. In California in 1983, Henry Nicholas's sister Marcy was shot and killed by her ex-boyfriend. Henry Nicholas went on to launch and fund a nationwide effort to expand the rights of victims in honor of his sister. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent. And in Wisconsin, Marcy's Law is on the spring ballot as Question 1, a proposition to amend the state constitution. Do you have any questions about Question 1? 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. It's your state capitol report, and we have arguments this half hour, both for and against the proposed amendment. Joining us this morning, Asma Kadri-Keeler, who is a staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union in Wisconsin. Asma, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And Veronica Figueroa-Velez is the executive director of UNIDOS, a statewide nonprofit that provides advocacy and support to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. Veronica, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Veronica, and I will begin with you this morning. What are the specifics of this ballot initiative? What exactly are we voting on?
We're voting to protect victims' rights, but also to level the playing field between victims and accusers. I know there's a lot of information out there talking about Marcy's Law as a bad thing in terms of not validating or accounting for accusers' rights, and that's absolutely not correct. If you read at the amendment, there is on this section, on the last section on the amendment, it's very clear that it's not intended to interpret any of this to not have the rights of the accuser or the constitutional rights of the accuser be heard. So that doesn't change. There's nothing in Marcy's Law that prevents the accuser from continue to have its rights. We just want victims and survivors of crimes to be able to have a better stance in court, to be able to defend themselves, to be able to have what they don't have right now. I sit with victims in court every single day. I am with victims all the time, trying to prepare them for court, trying to prepare them to be able to get their voice heard. And if you are in there with on the other side of the equation, when victims don't have attorneys, for example, when the persecutor is supporting the survivors, and the other side has all the potential, all the financial means to have an attorney, the voices of victims don't get heard loud and clear. So Marcy's Law is not intended to allow the victims to have greater or lower. It's about having equal rights for victims as we have for accusers. From the standpoint of the organization or the standpoint of the work that we do, having the opportunity to provide victims with the information and the preparation that they need to go out in court and defend themselves is crucial. Through this pandemic right now, we continue to see victims' rights strip from them because of the systems that have been put in place to protect people from a pandemic. And I've seen it. I spent all weekend working with a survivor of domestic violence who was displaced from her home.
I'm very interested in that, and I've certainly been thinking about that, of unsafe home environments at a time of self-isolation, and we'll get to that, Veronica. I appreciate it, but I also want to touch base with Asma here from the ACLU of Wisconsin and find out how they see Marcy's Law. How would you explain it, Asma?
Yeah, so I want to start by making it crystal clear that the ACLU strongly supports victims' rights, and we do believe that the Wisconsin Victims' Rights Statute covers what Marcy's Law is seeking to cover. And just to quickly sort of respond to what Veronica was saying, you know, I don't think that we would say that victims should be held to any less esteem in the justice system. But I think it's worth noting that the rights of the accused were enshrined in the federal constitution and each state constitution, because we as a society recognize that the government has an enormous amount of power and the ability to strip any person in this country of life, liberty, and property for any reason at any time. And constitutional rights create a check on that power. The rights of victims, on the other hand, were not enshrined in constitutions, whether federal or state, but rather state law, because we recognize that victims deserve protection. But that protection is from another individual, not the state, with all of its resources and all of its power. So 40 years ago, Wisconsin recognized that there is and should be an inherent difference between the position of the victim and the accused in the criminal system. So here, I would encourage the public to focus on the fact that Wisconsin's current victims' rights law offers each and every one of the protections that Marcy's law is proposing, and with an enforcement mechanism. When you put in a constitutional amendment to your state or federal constitution, what you then have to contend with is how are you going to enforce it? And I hear a lot, not just from the Marcy's Law campaign, but from many victims' rights advocates, that the difficulty that exists in the current system for victims not being heard is a lack of enforcement. It's not that the rights don't exist. And to that end, I'll make one final point is, you know, there is a really troubling aspect here about the presumption of innocence. And I think Veronica's right. In Marcy's Law, there is one or two sentences towards the end of the full text of the law that says, you know, none of this shall undermine the right to be accused or something like that. But I think it's really important to point out that you can have something in terms of language mean one thing on its face and one thing as applied. The opening directive of Marcy's Law states that victims shall be entitled to all of the following rights, which shall vest at the time of victimization. Off of the bat, that raises a question. The time of victimization, what does that mean? That there removes the presumption of innocence and imposes a presumption of guilt on somebody accused of a crime, because one of the very purposes of our court system is to help determine who the perpetrator of a crime might be. If a victim can enforce a right, any one of them under Marcy's Law, from the moment a crime is committed against them by the person they believe committed the crime, our court system has no function in protecting against the truly innocent. And that's our concern with the presumption of innocence.
Asma Kadri Keeler is an ACLU staff attorney, and Veronica Figueroa-Velez, an advocate against domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. Are you or someone you know a victim of domestic violence or sexual assault? Do you file a report or press charges against your assaulter? And if so, why or why not? Take your calls at 1-800-642-1234, talking about question one on the ballot for the spring election known as Marcy's Law nationwide. And we'll go to Jenny in Madison. Jenny, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning. Sorry we lost you there. I do have a comment here from Steve from Stoughton. Couldn't stay with us. He wants to know, have all the states adopted Marcy's Law with the same language as Wisconsin? Asma, you want to handle that?
Sure. The answer is no. To my knowledge, I think it has been passed in 11 states. Perhaps there are more coming up on spring ballot initiatives that we're not aware of. And the language is roughly the same. There are some, I think, tweaks that have been made state by state to contend with their current existing versions of victims' rights in those respective states. So for Wisconsin, for example, our version of Marcy's Law tracks almost identically what the victims' rights law is in our Wisconsin state statute.
Which brings up the question for Veronica then. Veronica, why do you think Marcy's Law deserves to be? Why does UNIDOS think Marcy's Law should be in our Constitution and not just part of our state statutes?
Can I answer actually real quick also the question? Marcy's Law, I want to point out that Marcy's Law was done in Wisconsin by Wisconsin for Wisconsin. Many people that work with victims, survivors, many organizations are really supporting Marcy's Law and were part of the input and the feedback to create this amendment. It's not the same from state to state. Every state has a different law regarding to victims' rights. And the Wisconsin Marcy's Law amendment, it's absolutely not the same as others.
Why the Constitution?
For us, the Constitution is that we do need to have, we need to be able to have rights for survivors, especially when we're talking about victims of color, that allow us to level the playing field, that allow us to support survivors at a higher level than when we're able to support survivors at this time. And yes, there are rights like the attorney mentioned that are exactly the same that are on this amendment. And yes, there is a problem of reinforcing those things. But by having this amendment on the on the ballot and having it vote as yes and having it for us to be able to enforce it as advocates, as our duty to support and protect victims of crimes, we are actually getting a tool that would allow us to support survivors at a higher and greater scale than right now we don't have, because it's a matter of the law versus what we say in terms of what we're seeing survivors having to deal with in court.
How is Marcy's law different than the Crime Victim Bill of Rights already in our state statutes, Veronica?
Again, I think what we're trying to do here with Marcy's law, what we're trying to do here with Marcy's law, it's really to elevate the rights that we already have under the statute and supporting survivors at the same level that we are supporting those who are guilty, innocent until guilty.
I understood, Veronica. And Ozma, briefly, we've got about 30 seconds here. Why not put Marcy's law in the Constitution?
We think that the Crime Victims Bill of Rights statute is sufficient to protect victims the way that we believe is necessary and the way that they are seeking, because statutes are flexible. We have the ability to amend and change them. We can approach our legislators. We can present our interests, and you can build in enforcement mechanisms, right? All judges in every state and at the federal level are all required to follow laws. The Constitution, on the other hand, you need specific enforcement mechanisms to make it work. That's why constitutional law is so complicated.
Ozma Kadri-Keeler cutting you off, and I apologize. Staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin, Veronica Figueroa-Velez, executive director of Unidos, and our conversation about Marcy's Law, question one on the spring ballot in Wisconsin, continues in your state capitol report. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. If approved, question one on Wisconsin's spring ballot would amend the state constitution to permanently mandate rights for crime victims. Victims would have the right to be heard at a plea, parole, or revocation proceeding. They'd have the right to refuse defense attorneys' interviews, depositions, and discovery requests. And victims would hold the right to attend all proceedings in their case. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and this is your State Capitol Report. Our guests are here to represent both sides of this debate, and we are grateful for their perspective. Is there a line when it comes to victims' rights? Is there a line where the legislature encroaches too far in the proceedings of the judiciary? We're taking your questions and opinions on Marcy's Law, question one, on our spring ballot at 1-800-642-1234. Our guests, Veronica Figueroa-Velez, from Executive Director of Unidos, and Ozma Kadri-Keeler, who is a staff attorney with the ACLU of Wisconsin. Let's go to the phones now, and Bob and Madison, you're on the Ideas Network. What do you think of question one?
Hello, thank you. I'm a prosecutor in Wisconsin who has been in the support of the Marcy's Law, as has been the last two attorneys general. And just to answer a couple of the points that the ACLU attorney makes, who's very articulate and seems very concerned about our situation here, but she doesn't practice criminal law. She practices civil law. And in the practice of criminal law in Wisconsin, there's a couple of important things to keep in mind about the present amendment. The amendment as it exists since 1993 makes no provision for the rights of the victim to take precedence over any rights of the defendant or even to be equal to them, whereas Marcy's Law requires that victim rights be considered as a constitutional right and in the face of any right except those of the defendant's federal constitutional rights, so they're protected. She just made a remark that the judges have to follow the law, but the fact is that a recent opinion from the Wisconsin Supreme Court made it clear that that the victim's rights to appear and be heard at a proceeding could not be enforced against the judge because of the statute. And once it's a constitutional amendment, it will be able to be enforced against the judge. And finally, that just to make another point, that the passing of a constitutional amendment, such as Marcy's Law, is different in every state. And in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Marcy's Law was written and drafted by people involved with prosecution, with defense, and with victims' rights in the state of Wisconsin. It is written for and about Wisconsin, and the provision that evidences that is the provision that makes clear that any law that's passed in Wisconsin or any court opinion in Wisconsin which gives a defendant a greater right than any federal constitutional right is one that would fly in the face of this constitutional amendment if it's passed and made law. And that's an answer to a period of time in the Wisconsin Supreme Court when the Wisconsin Supreme Court was consistently attempting to give rights to defendants.
Bob, I want to give Ozma a chance to answer the issues. Bob, a prosecutor in Madison, supportive of Question 1 and Marcy's Law. Ozma, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I have heard that before a couple of times now, and there's no denying that there are many folks who are in support of this constitutional amendment, many of them involved in the criminal legal system. But I do think that there are some fallacies that were raised in that comment. In particular, you know, I think it's really important to look at other states that have passed Marcy's Law to see what it might play out like here in Wisconsin. Every version of Marcy's Law that has been passed in other states has been tailored to that specific state. So let's take Ohio, for example. We learned from Ohio prosecutors that they were interpreting Marcy's Law, and rightfully so, because it says it in the amendment, to withhold discovery from a criminal trial. This comes into direct conflict with the rights of the accused. And yes, I do not practice criminal law. I practice civil law, but I'm in the business of protecting people's constitutional rights. And that's what we do, right? We protect the rights of the accused because it's a constitutional right.
You said that Ohio had interpreted their version of this law to withhold evidence?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Is that a one-off event, or is that practice?
We don't know, and we don't know how they will continue to interpret it. Another great example of how this can go wrong, because it's vague and because there are no strict provisions on how it's to be enforced and interpreted, again, arises from Ohio. There was a man who called 911 who had schizophrenia. He reported an active shooter near his home. When the police arrived and they didn't find a shooter, they subsequently charged the man with misusing the 911 system. As a result of that charge and conviction, the city of Centerville in Ohio claimed victim status under Marcy's Law and ordered the man to pay $1,375 to the city to cover the cost of responding to the call. So setting aside the fact that the man genuinely believed he was in danger when he called 911, why would a city then charge a citizen for calling 911? The natural consequence of that decision is that people will be deterred from calling emergency services to report crime, and the offense could trigger a municipal restitution claim, which is what Marcy's Law would provide for. So if the ultimate goal of Marcy's Law is to make people safer, we would not support that type of outcome. But that's what's happening in Ohio. They're going through active litigation on that issue right now to figure out whether that...
Bob mentioned that each state is different, but it's an interesting case study. I want to get another call in here. Trish in Madison, you're on the Ideas Network. Good morning. Trish, you have your radio on?
Hi there.
Hi.
I do. Thank you. I'm really concerned about reports that I'm hearing from all over the world. And I know that with this pandemic, we are lagging behind some of these other countries. But there are systems where victims can't even call in because the systems are so full and so bogged down with extreme fast increases in domestic violence, for example, in France and other countries as well. And we're starting to see it here now, too. And I saw a report on CNN about it last night. How can we do something immediately to raise awareness about this so that our own capacity to handle this and then make the language of our pending amendment match the need that this pandemic is creating that is fairly urgent?
Trish, it's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up. Veronica, as executive director of UNIDOS, what are you seeing? Veronica? Did we lose Veronica?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
hello?
There you are. Hi, did you hear Trisha's call there?
I had a little bit of a hard time hearing her voice through a cell phone, but right now with this term pandemic, we are seeing exactly that, people not being answered to faster, people leaving voice messages, people trying to contact for help and not getting the help immediately because of many fears that this pandemic has brought to all of us who are responding to a crisis.
Specifically, right now, domestic violence and sexual assault and what UNIDOS does every day. And you had mentioned earlier, Veronica, that Marcy's Law is important for communities of color. Could you explain a little bit about why this you see the connection there between question one on the ballot and communities of color across Wisconsin?
I would say as a Latina myself, and what we see, again, when we go to court and support clients, is that people of color has lesser of a voice, unfortunately. And we see this in many other instances, not only on domestic violence and sexual assault situations, but in many other across the whole victim of crimes definition. So for us, we see that imbalance constantly, especially when race plays a role in victimization, when you're a person of color versus a person that is not a person of color. So for us, really having the requirements, especially she mentioned earlier that that there's many of the things in Marcy's Law, or many of the victims' rights are already in place. But this would allow us to require the remedies. Judges have to develop a remedy for rights for the victims who have been violated. So I think that for us, it's very important that we don't, that we stay on task to truly assist victims of any type in really putting their voice out there. And yes, right now victims can go if they feel that they're not being heard, can go to the proceedings. But this will give us an opportunity for victims to be part of the entire process, not just a specific parts of the process.
And I apologize that we're out of time. Veronica Figueroa-Velez, Executive Director of UNIDOS, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Asma Kadri Keeler, Staff Attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin, taking a look at question one on the ballot, Wisconsin's version of Marcy's Law. It's your State Capitol Report. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.